We're beginning take two with John Christensen. The boat is in Cherbourg, and you're just about to leave to go across the Atlantic.
Yeah.
How long was the trip across the Atlantic?
It took 8 days.
Can you describe for me what the Homeric looked like, what the boat actually looked like?
Well, we were, for each cabin, there was four guys. And you just walked in, and there was two, one above the other one. And we were three from Denmark, but I don't know where the other one came from, because he never spoke a word. He was laying in bed all the time. But the two was going to Chicago. And the one had been over here before. He was a middle-aged man, and he was a masseur by trade, and he was going to go out to Chicago and get a job. The other one, I guess he was, I don't know, he had family out, but they were both going out to Detroit, I think. And when we came out to the, when we came in with the boat to New York, I made a mistake. I should have taken second class instead of third class. I wanted to save a few dollars.
Where on the boat was the third class?
Well, that was down pretty near at the bottom of the boat.
Was that an uncomfortable way to travel?
No, it wasn't too uncomfortable. But I didn't want to go with the English boat in the first place. But when I was over to get my papers, the 4th of July, or May, I was called that I could go in and present myself the American consulate. And I had a little worker's waiting right here. So I had to go on to a doctor over at home, you know, he saw me physically fit. Well, they wanted to know why were you not taken into military. Well, on account of that little worker's wing. Well, then, you go out, you go to a doctor. Well, I had a doctor's certificate from home, you know. Now they wanted me to go out to a doctor again. And I went, somebody told me right across the street there was a doctor there, and I got up, and I never told him that I had a worker's wing. And he gave me a clean bill of health. So I was kind of nervous because I had taken the trip from home. It was quite a way to go by train and over to Copenhagen to get the garden papers. Well, they told me, you go to the doctor and you come back this afternoon. So he gave me a clean bill of health, and I got my papers to go. And, well, the friend of mine they had a sister here in Hartford. He wanted to go over too, because he wanted him over here. So he said, and he was a bricklayer. So he says, you ask them when you go up there, when I can hope to hear from them. And they told me, well, not before November. And this was in the 4th of May that I was over there. So I come down and told him, I says, you know, we're not been considered before in November. Well, then there was this guy, a salesman for the from the English line, you know, White Star Line, and they are all hanging around, you know, trying to sell tickets, you know, to the guys, and he found out, you know, what it was. Oh, he says, come over there to the office and we'll have it I'll see that the application gets forwarded. He knew the guys up in the office. And but with the provision that I sail with the White Star Line, okay? And the goddamn fool, he go with the Danish Line. He didn't go with the White Star Line, but I, on account of doing him a favor.
That'll teach you.
And I couldn't speak a word of English, you know. And anyway, he came over here in, I think it was August, instead of waiting till November.
What? So what month is it that you're traveling?
I came over here.
July.
I had my papers from for the May, but I left, I came to this country in July 27th, the hottest day that summer.
Let me ask you some more questions about the boat. Tell me some things that you remember about being on the boat. What did you do on the boat?
Oh, there wasn't much to do. There was very few women. There was all guys. And they had somebody playing a violin. I don't know, a recording, I think it was. But there wasn't much to do except talking, walking around.
Did you get sick?
No, heck no.
Was it stormy or was it a smooth?
No, smooth sailing, yeah.
What didn't you like?
I didn't like their coffee or their tea. It was too damn strong. But I liked the ice cream.
Oh.
Another guy that loaned me, we were traveling together and he was for a Dane too, and we got ice cream for the dessert and now we heard him. And that waiters came around home, we wanted another dish of ice cream. We had two dishes of ice cream. That's what's new to us.
Did they have a dining room on the boat?
Yeah, but we were sitting in line, and you remember, that's the third class, and we were sitting on long benches. There was a walk in the middle, and the benches was 12 feet long, I guess, tables and benches. And we didn't even know how to order. There was a couple of guys that had been home on leave. They were Norwegian. And they were sitting right across the table from us. And we asked them what we were going to eat, you know. There was one young, I think he was Norwegian or Swede. And he ordered every damn thing that was on the plate. He had it all and he couldn't eat. He didn't hardly eat any of it. But with these guys, like I say, I think they were Norwegians. They would tell us what we were going to eat, what it said on there.
And the ice cream was a surprise.
Yeah, the ice cream was the best of it.
Did they have any kind of activities at all for you on the
no.
boat? Did you go up on deck at all?
Yeah, I walk up deck, yeah.
Would you say it was kind of a boring ride?
It was.
How long did it take?
Oh, 8 days from Southampton all across. That was a long ride.
Do you remember coming into New York Harbor?
Yeah, that was the damn trouble. See, we came in the afternoon. And by being in third class, we had to go to Ellis Island. And we had to stay on board all night. And it was the hottest day they told me afterwards, that 27th, I guess, July. And it was so goddamn hot, no air condition, no nothing. Say the Danes and I, we were walking up on deck and hey, we didn't go down. They were too damn close up down the cabin. We stayed up and walked around all night. Until the next day, we with a little boat, we were taken over to Ellis Island. And there, I thought it was then, funny thing. Now, we had all kinds of doctor's certificate and everything from home. And when we come in Ellis Island, you got a strip and go into a room that was probably as big as our living room. And there was a I think six doctors sitting around the outside edge, and you go from one to the other, and they get examined, so they're even pulling out of your balls and the bulk and lugging up your and test your eyes and things. And so then, of course, after you've been through there, well, then you could go. But then you had to hang around, well, for 2-3 hours, I guess. Then most of the people that was over there had to go to Pennsylvania station. And I didn't know that. This guy, he talked to me, I didn't know where they're English. And he told me, well, you stay here. And there was a big hall there. There was only two people beside me that had to go with a station up to go north here. And then this guy is going out to Chicago. He said to me, why don't you come up to with us? So he says, I was down there all by myself. And I take my suitcase and I stand up. And this guy that was supposed to keep track of it, he said, how on like hell. You had told you to stay there. And I said something in German. Well, he could talk German. So, well, then he was all right.
Tell about how bad you felt when you saw those people that had to go right back.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that was, now I can't understand. They give you a medical examination at home. You have to have a medical examination, otherwise you can't get papers to go in the first place. And I feel sorry for the people that was up. You saw them upstairs, up in the second floor. They were waiting for a boat to take them back to Italy or wherever they came from. Now, why in heck I let them come over here and then ship them back again? They probably lost their job and whatever money they had, they probably had to borrow the money to get here. And that was thinking of it. Then, funny thing is this, we said I had to sit there from 4 noon. Well, we got a sandwich and a cup of coffee they gave us at noontime. But this guy from Denmark that I know, but we said travel together, he says, you know, there was a soda fountain up there at one end. And he says, you know, they got beer up there. And I've been trying to get some of that one sold to me. So I was fresh and I went up there and asked for a beer. No, he said, yeah, I know you got it there. Yeah, but that is only for the workers working over there. Well, I hang around the counter there and a Norwegian guy that works over there, he come in and asked for a beer and he got one. I grabbed the juice before he got it and put it up. And then a guy, he said, he wanted to get paid for it. I don't know what it was. I just got the American money because I just had the exchange. I threw a nickel on the counter. Well, he wasn't satisfied with that. Well, the Norwegian, he gave the difference. But they didn't fool me. I was fresh like it.
You just mentioned the money exchange. Let me ask you how you went about exchanging your money.
There was a place where you could exchange money. Where they had a guy that was taking a change and whatever different currency you had, you could get your money exchanged. So at home, from home, they always say, well, watch out, they didn't cheat you. So I didn't think that I got enough money from in exchange, I think it was 600 crowns I had, and I got a little better than $150. And he could tell on me that I wasn't satisfied. Oh, you can say up there on the blackboard how much your money is worth, he said.
Do you remember where that was in the building, where the money exchange was?
Oh.
Well, there was, like I say, when you first got in, the doctors were there first where you walk in. And here then was like a hall you went to, and here where he was a money exchange. And the big hall was further along.
What did the big hall look like to you?
Well, just like a lot of chairs, there was room for a couple of hundred people in there to sit in the big hall.
It was crowded?
No, it wasn't that crowded, because I know that where he told me to sit, there was way down the other, and all the other ones that had have to go to Pennsylvania Station, they were up in another area. So, but like I say, this guy, a friend I've been friends with on the way over, and he says, well, why don't you take your suitcase and stick up here to us? They were going to Pennsylvania, but I was going to Grand Central. I wasn't going to Pennsylvania Station, and I didn't know that. We thought that he was trying to partner, say. But like I say, that guy that was directing us or telling us how to go, he could speak German. When I said to her something to her in German, then he said, you wait here, she says, and I'll have a young man take you up to the station afterwards. And he got hold of he probably knew a guy, I don't know, he didn't talk to me. I probably couldn't understand, but he got hold of a young fella that would take me up to the Grand Central. And you just have to give him a little hand, So I don't know, I had some chains and I just gave it to him and we got up to Grand Central, but he got me a stay. Then he got on the, he showed me which train to get on. And I got, they put a sign on, you know, get off at Hartford, you know. I didn't want to get that sign on there, just like a prisoner of war or something. I took that off and we were going along and with a train, and ever so often I said to the guy across the aisle, I said, Hartford? No, he says. And I keep every time the train stopped, I asked him if it was Hartford now. I finally got there.
And, well, what did you think of when you were looking out the windows of the trains?
I thought it was a desolate country. Being a farmer, you don't see nothing on the train except brush, grass. I thought, well, what the hell kind of country you got to then? You couldn't grow grass or nothing growing on the side of the train. I thought it was a lousy goddamn country you got to.
What did you think about New York City when you were going through New York to get to Grand Central? What were your impressions of the city?
Oh, actually, I had taken up, I didn't really see much of it, New York City. Because we were probably taking a patrol car right up there, I don't know. I didn't see much of New York City.
Now, was there somebody waiting for you in Hartford?
Yeah, this lady that I had, a friend of mine, like I say, that wrote to, that would take me in, though. She got notified when I was on the train, I was on, and she came to the railroad station. She got a neighbor of hers to take her up there, and she was there to meet me when I got off the train.
Well, tell me about what those first couple of days in America were like. What was it like to be here? What problems did you have when you first got here?
No, the only problem I had was that I wanted to get a job. I didn't want to hang around. See, I didn't want to live on her. Well, I wanted to get a job right away because, we paid her $10 a week for room and board those days. But then a guy that had come over the same year, earlier in the year than me, he worked out on a vegetable garden out in Wilson. And he had a fellow to work together with him that had been over here longer. And he had a car and he brought him in because he also came to the same place where I come. And he came in for a visit on a Sunday afternoon. And then this guy there took him in. Oh, he says, I know a guy up the street where he worked that his brother just quit that same spring, and he is looking for a man. Well, I went out to work today to work for him then.
And what kind of work was that?
Vegetable garden, raising vegetables.
Now, were you living in Hartford still? You were at a boarding house in Hartford?
No. I only stayed there a week, like I say, the lady that I came to. And I had room and board out in Wilson, where I went to work on that vegetable garden.
Who were your co-workers? Were you working with other immigrant people?
No, but they were Danish people that I worked for. And, of course, they could tell Danish. They'd come over to this country in 1912, I think it was. And he had raised vegetable on his own, went to market. There was a lot of them at that time, small market gardener, that went to market, took it into market every morning in Hartford.
Did you work for this man for a long time?
No, actually, I didn't work for him more than the 1st of January. And then his brother-in-law took over the farming, and he only peddled, took the load into every morning into Hartford. And but I didn't like it too well with working for him. So I think in June I left there in next.
When did you start going to night school to learn English?
Oh, I went to night school the first year, winter. Mm-hmm. I was here. They had the school down in Wilson. That was on the, down to foot of the hill, I guess. Yeah. And, but I didn't, I didn't think that I learned enough. In the first place, she was an Italian girl. She was a school teacher at daytime. But there was a couple that started, I think they came from Canada. They were French-speaking people anyway. And she liked to use her French that she knew or talk to them. And heck, for the couple of words that I learned by going to school for 2 hours, I got damn little out of it. So, but I went to night school, like I said, for that first winter. Then I, the following winter, I was in Hartford and I went to a night school up on High Street. There was a night school.
Is there a story or an anecdote of some sort about you learning English and maybe making a mistake? Yes, Mrs. Christian.
Oh, I'm still making mistakes today.
But the episode when you wanted to go buy a pack of cigarettes, how aggravated you became.
Yeah. You know, you go to, especially a young, there were so many little stores, you know. But they usually had the young kid, you know, for a high school kid, maybe helping out in the store. And you came in and says, well, you want camels. Well, maybe you didn't pronounce it the way it's supposed to be pronounced. Well, did I try to make it you a hard time out of it, you know?
That upset you.
Am I sure?
Where did you learn a lot of your English? Sitting where in the afternoons you could learn English?
Well, I went to a theater.
Movies.
Down I lived on Lincoln Street with the Bucks that I first came to. And I went to the movies lot in Lyric Theater that was down on Park Street. And you could go in there for 10 cents in the afternoon and sit down all night. You didn't have to go out yet. They had two movies for the afternoon and night. And at that time, it was all written down. There wasn't the loudspeaker. They only got on in 27, I think it was, or 28. But I didn't like it when I first heard it. I liked better when it was written down, because I could read it better than I could understand it.
Was there something in America that was you had never seen before? Was there anything here that you had never seen before?
No, I wasn't impressed with it. But I didn't want to go back.
Underwear.
Yeah, that's what Mrs. Buck, that I stayed with, told Evelyn that she went down and bought me underwear because I didn't use underwear.
In Denmark, they didn't.
Well, I think in the cities they did, but not out in the country. But they had your shirts that went down that far, and you were more or less pulled in from in the crotch, you know. But
never had underwear until then.
No, she went to down to Park Street and bought me some. But that was once.
You
one piece.
A bath.
Oh, yeah, well.
Never had a bath in a tub.
No.
Until you got to America.
Yeah, she told me to go and take a bath because they were going across the street. There were some birthday parties they were going to. So I was.
That was something to sit in a bathtub.
Yeah.
Did you miss Denmark?
No. Luckily, like I say, I worked in Denmark for 50 crowns a month. The first month I was here, I got $60. And heck, I went down to Hartford and I bought clothes for all the goddamn $60.
Did you ever want to, I assume you were corresponding with your family in Denmark?
Oh, I did, yeah.
Did any of them ever come to America?
No, they never wanted to. I think that Laura, she wanted to, she would like to, but.
But they did come on a visit.
Yeah, I had a few years ago.
Yeah, and
my eldest sister and my stepmother. See, my father, he married again when, well, I was over here. She was 22 years younger than him. So that was.
Yeah, and she's still alive.
Yeah, she is up in the 80s, in the 90s.
97.
But her and my older sister came over here on a visit, I don't know, many years ago.
21 years ago.
Did they like America when they got here?
They're not too well. We were down at the boat to pick them up, Evelyn and I. But they didn't. My stepmother, she could talk English, but she had lost her hearing in the flight. See.
The flight they flew.
And they don't let them out. Now we could see them standing up on the second floor. And we could see them running around down there, and we had hell of a trouble to explain it. They had a hell of a trouble to explain to anybody that we were there. I don't know how hell they finally came up.
They flew over, honey. Yeah.
I know it, darling, but we couldn't go down where they were. got off the boat, and they wouldn't let them in. I don't know why they wouldn't. There was something mixed up there.
How long did they stay in America on the visit?
Oh, they only stayed 3 weeks.
Did you ever want to go back to Denmark?
Oh, I went back. I went back in 33, after 7 years. But I told them to begin with, I am not coming back before I'm an American citizen. And you can't be an American citizen before, well, they say 5 years it takes, but it took me 6 years before I ever got the citizenship. And so I went back on a visit during the Depression.
And, what had changed over in Denmark?
Well, my father, of course, he liked to have me come home on a visit. And he made it out so glorious, but actually it wasn't. So it was the Depression over there also, because I think we were worse off here than they were over there.
It probably wasn't actually that much different for them. They lived a rather poor style of life.
They did.
Let me ask you one final question, because I do need to get going. Was coming to this country the right thing for you to do in your life?
Yeah. One way I could, where I come from, under Germany, there was a lot of big estates. Big farm. One farm I worked on the last year I was there. Under German ownership, they had 35 fellows working for them. But it went under Denmark in 1920, and the Danes, they had to take over them estates from the German. But they wanted. Guys that worked on the farm, there was nothing else for the young fellows to do. They wanted them to have something of their own, and they pieced out all those big estates. And like I say, on the one I worked on the last year or half a year I was there, they had at one time 35 guys working on that estate. But they took and pieced out, I think they got 12 acres of land each. And the Danish government would pay for building them up a farmstead, a house and a barn and so on. And they were only big enough for, like I say, you could keep 3 or 4 cows and raise a few pigs, and that wasn't for me. I didn't want to get into a small thing like that. I wanted a big farm and none at all.
And that's probably what would have happened to you if you had stayed there. That's interesting.
So he did get a big farm in this country.
That's you.
Yeah, in Bloomfield. Mm-hmm. I had it up to 60 cows here in Bloomfield, up on Woodland Avenue.
The little boy who didn't want to milk the cow.
Right. You're right, Paul. Yeah.
If you want to stay here, you've got to milk
it. Well, Mr. Christensen, I want to thank you very much for letting me come out and pick your brain about your life. Mrs. Christensen, I want to thank you. You and I should go into business together.
I don't know if it was anything that was satisfactory or anything.
Well, we've talked for an hour and a half, and the average interview runs about 35 minutes. So, yes, we've done 3 interviews just here. Anyway, this is Paul Sigrist, and I'm signing off with Mr. and Mrs. Christensen in Bloomfield, Connecticut, and today is Monday, March 29th, 1993.